Steve Dale's Other World on WGN. It's 2:36. Our telephone number, 312-981-7200. You can call or you can text. Either which way, and some of the questions are from texts that you've sent that I'm about to ask Dr. Richard Novak, who's the director of the Moderna vaccine trial. Dr. Novak, thank you so much for joining us. When all of these new suggestions were made by the United States government, I thought, well, who else better to talk to than you? And you said, I'll do it, Steve. I'm on vacation, but I'll do it. So thank you very much for doing this on vacation. I appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
All right. Here's, I don't know where to start except to just jump into it.
Sure.
6 months, 8 months. Is there really, because some of the studies say that the immunity actually does wane from the vaccines, depending on the individual, for lots of different reasons, at 6 to 7 months. Why are we waiting 8 months, and is it necessary that people do that?
So it's different for different vaccines, of course. It seems that we have most information about the Pfizer vaccine, and definitely the immunity wanes for that, starting in about 6 months, and it declines steadily from there, about 2 or 3% efficacy per month decrease. Moderna is less so. Immunity lasts a little bit longer. And we don't really have as much information about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, although that's forthcoming. But there's some evidence that vaccine may actually improve over time. So. The bottom line is really who gets an infection after they've been vaccinated, and that's depends a lot on who you are. I mean, if you're older, if you've got underlying chronic illness, or your immune system's not functioning well because you have cancer or an autoimmune disease, you're not going to get as good an immune response, and you'll be more susceptible.
And those people right now, I believe, if you're in the category that you just suggested, are eligible for the boosters. But let's say, so there's different, let me put it this way, there's different categories. So there's the immunity people have with the vaccines, the mRNA vaccines, which are the Pfizer, the Moderna vaccines. There's the immunity that people can have with the J&J vaccine. There's the immunity that people have that are previously or were previously ill with COVID and are unvaccinated, just say, I'm dependent on that immunity. And there's the so-called hybrid immunity, which is immunity because you had COVID, unfortunately. But it turns out to be really fortunate, because if you've had COVID and one of the vaccines, this hybrid immunity, as I understand it, turns out to be a, quote, super immunity. So can you comment on all that?
Yeah, it's true. If you've had COVID and a vaccine, you do get a really potent immune response. And we don't really know how that translates into your risk of getting a breakthrough infection, because we just don't have enough information. If you've gotten, so even if you just had one dose of vaccine and you've had an infection, you probably have equivalent immunity to people who've had two doses of vaccine. If you get a booster, it seems that, and you've had the regular two doses of an mRNA vaccine, the booster will boost your immunity by about tenfold. So you get about a pretty significant increase.
Now, I want to stop. I'm interrupting you, and I apologize, but I think this is an important point for you to say again. You get, by getting the booster, an immunity support times 10? Is that what you said?
You get immunity about tenfold higher than after two doses.
That seems huge.
Yeah, it's a lot, and it seems, you know, this waning immunity is complicated by the fact that we have the Delta variant now. So had we not had the Delta variant, it would probably be an issue. But we're seeing occasional breakthrough cases now from the Delta variant, and it's sort of a game changer a little bit, because it's not something that the vaccine was designed against. fortunately, the vaccines really do work against the Delta variant. They're just not as effective.
Well, and so it's
getting
not...
getting a booster makes a difference. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. It's not only the breakthrough cases, but I imagine it's the suspicion. I was going to say it's the fact, but I'll leave that for you to say. But it, if it's true,
okay.
But if it's the suspicion that not only might I get sick and hopefully and probably not end up in the hospital because I'm vaccinated, but I will, even if I'm asymptomatic, I'll be able to spread to others.
That's true. Actually, there's really good evidence that that's true because there's a big outbreak of cases of the Delta variant in Provincetown and Cape Cod in Massachusetts. And when that happened, they got a lot of information about it. There are a lot of breakthrough cases there. And they were able to determine that people who had asymptomatic infections actually shed as much virus of the Delta variant as somebody who was unvaccinated. So while the vaccines are very effective in keeping people from getting very sick and keeping them out of the hospital, they still do get infected and they still shed quite a bit of virus.
So the
they're exposing other people.
So the booster isn't only about protecting yourself, it is also a public health strategy?
It would be. I hasten to add, though, that we getting a little ahead of ourselves because we don't really know it for a fact that giving the booster is going to prevent those asymptomatic infections.
Mm.
It's assumed that it would, but we don't have that information yet.
No, that's of course a very good point. Now, let's say I had the Pfizer vaccine. Should I get the two doses? Should I get the Moderna booster? If I had the Moderna, should I get the Pfizer from my limited, and indeed it is limited, knowledge of vaccinology? That actually kind of makes some sense.
Right. Well, it does make sense. You're right about that. It's not what the guidance is right now. What the government is recommending is that you get a booster with the same vaccine that you originally got. And the reason for that is because that's what we have information on from studies. We know that when you get the same vaccine, you get a really good, like I said, you get about a tenfold bump in your antibody levels. We also know that it's safe. There's good safety data from doing that. You tend to have similar side effects, but not quite as bad as when you had the second dose. Now, in vaccinology, we do like the idea of what's called a heterologous boost, which means you start with one vaccine, you give a second one, because you're showing the viral antigen to the body a little differently than with the first vaccine, and presumably you would get a different and broader immune response. So it's a good idea, theoretically. They just haven't tested it yet. They're actually in the process of testing it, and we'll have more information on that. But they're not recommending it because it hasn't actually been tried yet.
So if I were to go into Walgreens, say, and want the boost, and they may want my vaccine card and saw that I had, say, the Pfizer vaccine, they're not going to give me, of course, it depends on what they have in the first place, but if they have both, they're not going to give me or even if they don't have both, they're not going to give me the opposite, if you will. They're not going to give me the Moderna.
They're not supposed to. That's because that's current guidance.
Okay. Well, that's a shame in a way. In my personal opinion, what do I know? I do know to ask you this, and people have wanted me to ask you this, who have gotten the J&J vaccine. What booster, if any, should they get?
Well, there's no guidance yet for the J&J vaccine because they have absolutely no data yet that they've released. They are doing a two-dose vaccine trial, which they started quite a while ago, and we're still waiting on the results of that. And based on that, they're probably going to decide whether or not it's worthwhile to boost the J&J vaccine. But there is some evidence that the immune response to J&J seems to mature over time, and therefore it's actually getting better with time, and so it might not need a booster. I mean, time will tell, though.
Hmm. And we should explain that the mRNA vaccines, the Pfizer and the Moderna, and it's amazing how people like me and the general public kind of know these terms now. But that is very different fundamentally in many ways than the adenovirus, which is the more traditional virus, which the J&J vaccine is. Can you explain that?
Sure. So it's really, I'm sure a lot of your audience have heard this, but the mRNA vaccine is really just a copy of the gene for the spike protein that's packaged in a lipid nanoparticle. So it's actually taken up by your immune cells, and it is read into a protein, which is a spike protein of the virus, which is shown to your immune system in such a way that it makes an immune response. It's actually degraded fairly rapidly. The adenoviral vaccines are what we call vector vaccines. So they're non-replicating viruses, but it's a different virus than the coronavirus, and they package the spike protein genes into the adenoviral vector. And so when you get an injection of that, those viruses are taken up. They do what viruses do, which is get inside your cells very effectively, and then they release this genetic information, and your cells code that into the protein. So the end result is the same. It's just a different way of delivering it.
I'll tell you,
in either case, are you getting a replicating virus, though? So you can't get COVID from the vaccines.
Okay, that's an important. Actually, someone did ask that question. So 312-981-7200. That is our phone number. That is our text number. If you have questions for Dr. Richard Novak, head of the Moderna vaccine trial. Lots more questions. Well, that seems clear. Steve Dale's Other World on WGN. I am Steve Dale, of course. Otherwise, I wouldn't be saying that. Dr. Richard Novak is here. He is the head of the Moderna vaccine trial. Dr. Novak, lots of text questions for you. And, you know, it's what do you think the number one question people are asking now? And that's about approval. Why has approval been so slow? I'm not sure you can answer that one. When do you think approval is coming for Pfizer? When do you think approval is coming for Moderna? And my question out of all that is, does it really matter in a sense? Can you handle all that?
Well, yeah, sure. So the approval is coming on Monday for Pfizer, the official FDA approval. Why did it take so long? Well, they have tons of information, but the FDA is notoriously very, very careful about reviewing everything before they give official approval. Even with that, they sometimes withdraw approval if things happen after the fact. But truthfully, we've had 190 million people vaccinated now in the United States, and I think we have a pretty good idea about the safety and efficacy of the vaccine. So why does it matter? Well, it matters for some people out there. I've had some of even my patients, and I've heard from a number of people that they're waiting till official FDA approval. So it's going to make a difference for them. As far as the Moderna approval, that's going to be probably sometime in September.
Okay, well, that's not too far off, sometime in September. But, boy, oh, boy, I wish it would. I'm just speaking for myself here. I wish it would come earlier because some people are impacted. And the other group that's impacted are businesses who feel they have more legal ability, if you will. So, legally speaking, with Karen Conti, that's after 3 o'clock right here. Yeah. On WGN, and I've had Karen in the studio, and we've talked about this, and she said, right now, a business can do what they want to do. However, yeah, probably a little easier, probably a little more ammunition, if you will, for the employees, if that business says, okay, now it's officially approved, and we can say, you must be vaccinated. Wearing your science hat, because I would never ask you to wear a political hat, I don't think you have such a hat. But wearing your science hat alone, do you wish that more quickly businesses would mandate vaccines? And not only businesses, but places we go, to the movies, to the theater, to go out to a bar, and that bar says, no, you can't come in unless you demonstrate you're vaccinated.
Yeah, well, I've voiced this opinion before, and it might not be very popular to some people, but I actually do believe, and that's my opinion, the people that we need to take a heavier hand towards getting people vaccinated. I think it's a public health issue, frankly. It's not a political issue. And we mandate other vaccines for kids going back to school because there are other very contagious diseases. People are dying from this disease, and the reality is that the vast majority of people who are ending up in the hospital right now are unvaccinated. 99.9% of the hospitalized people now are unvaccinated. So we need to move forward to protect the public and to protect individuals. I mean, not to get on my soapbox, but we expect people to wear seatbelts. That is a government law that says that you got to wear seatbelts, and it's to protect yourself basically from getting injured in a car. Why can't we move forward with this vaccine and mandate it?
I'm making up a number here. Let's say 70% or 75% of adults were vaccinated, and we're moving in that direction too slowly. But we are moving in that direction, I suppose. But let's say that was a month ago. A month ago, what the number was. Would Delta have had the opportunity to do what Delta is doing today if more people then were vaccinated?
Well, it's hard to know. Clearly, if more people were vaccinated, there'd be fewer susceptible people out there, and the prevalence of the disease would be lower. And so logically, you'd expect that there'd be fewer people get exposed. So there, therefore, would be fewer cases, including fewer cases in people who are vaccinated. We're in a different place now, of course, with Delta. And so 70% is probably not going to cut it anymore with Delta. We're going to need a larger percentage of the population vaccinated.
Hmm. Several people have called asking about this question. Okay, if we give boosters, does that mean fewer vaccines for the rest of the world? It's kind of a catch-22, and it's a difficult question to address, but I appreciate the question, and I wanted to pass it on to you.
Well, actually, it's a really important question, and many organizations, including the one I belong to, the Infectious Disease Society of America, supports the need to vaccinate the rest of the world. It's critical if we're going to control a pandemic that everybody get vaccinated worldwide, not just in the United States. And so if we start providing boosters to people here, that might affect the supply. I think that there's still a huge capacity to make vaccine. And actually the boosters that Moderna is looking at is probably going to be a half the dose of what the current doses are, so there'll be more to go around. Hmm. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I can't help but ask this, and I'm also running out of time. If it's a half a dose, will it be as effective?
It is. That's what the studies have shown. It's very effective.
And if it's a half a dose, I assume fewer adverse responses or side effects?
They're probably going to be a little less, yes.
Interesting. That's news. That is news. Yeah. We've not heard that before. I've not heard that before. So say that one more time. If Moderna, if and when, or is the better to say when, Moderna offers a third booster, that will be a half a dose?
It's not fully decided yet, but it's quite likely to be because their studies have shown, this has been published, that a half a dose is roughly equal to a full dose in terms of the immune response.
Interesting. Dr. Novak?
Using it as a booster.
Okay. Always, thank you so much. Do me one favor if you can.
Yes.
Enjoy the rest of your vacation.
Thanks so much. Good talking to you.